Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Listening to Soccer Mommy, stage name for Sophie Allison. She's being called one of the most exciting new voices in indie rock. Fierce lyrics, emotionally raw point of view, and innovative production are all part of a new wave of interesting music on the rock scene, and it's mostly coming from women. This hour on Point, the soaring sadness of Soccer Mommy and why women are rocking the indie music world. You can join us on air or online. Do you know Soccer Mommy? What do you hear in her music? And do you agree or not that so much exciting indie rock now is coming from women? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now from KUT in Austin is Soccer Mommy. Again, her name is Sophie Allison. She goes by the stage name of Soccer Mommy. Her debut studio album, Clean, was released earlier this month, and she's making a big splash at South by Southwest this week. Sophie Allison, welcome to On Point.
Hi.
It's great to have you. So this first track that we're listening to right now, Your Dog, tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, that was the first single we released for the album. It's kind of like a, I like to think of it as like kind of like a soft anger, I guess. Because when I wrote it, I wasn't really feeling that like empowered as much as like pathetic. But it seems to be empowering a lot of people, which is really great.
Yeah, I mean, so that's why people, I think people are responding a lot to your music. You've gotten great write-ups in Rolling Stone, amongst others. I mean, how do you feel about that? That what sounded to you to be sad music is really reaching a lot of folks.
I mean, it's good. Definitely great for me. Yeah, it's very surprising, though, that people are taking a liking to it so much, because I definitely had doubts about it. But yeah, I mean, I'm super happy with the record, so I'm really glad that people are liking it.
So I read here that you didn't start playing seriously until just a couple of years ago when you were 18. Is that right?
I was always playing. I didn't start like pursuing like a career writing, really, but I was always playing music.
And so what happened when you were 18? Why did it get more serious?
I think part of it was just that I was moving away. And I didn't really have to worry about people, like, judging me as much if it was bad, because I was going to be gone. And I was kind of starting fresh, too, because I was going to college. So it just felt like a good time to try to, like, pursue something I'd wanted to do for a long time and, like, recording my own stuff and, like, learning how to do that.
So, I mean, you're making it sound spontaneous, but the music itself doesn't sound off the cuff, right? I mean, it's really thoughtful, really well thought out. So you got really serious about it really quickly. And I'm just wondering, you know, did you expect that to happen?
No, definitely not. I'd been writing since I was like 5 years old. So yeah. I always like put a lot into writing songs. I just wasn't like recording them and showing them to people. So when I started recording them, I still wanted to put like a lot of time into it, especially since I wasn't very good at it. So it took a lot of time to like make it sound good.
Well, you made a lot of progress really fast. And I want to give folks a chance to hear more of why so many music critics are just raving about you. So I'm wondering if you could actually give us a little live performance of one of your songs.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And this is, you're going to be playing Flaw for us. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about it, and then go ahead.
This is kind of like one of the darker tracks on the album, I guess. It's kind of just about like feeling like a sense, like kind of like a tension within yourself about like wanting one person or like wanting to move on from a person and kind of struggling with that and trying to for a long time, but like having a hard time really doing it.
Okay, go ahead. Soccer Mommy performing
Thanks.
Live for us the track Flaw from her new album Clean. That was fantastic. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, so I got to ask you, I was reading in a different interview that you did that when you, in the first year or two that you were in college, before you started doing music full time like you're doing now, that you spent a lot of time actually studying the business side of being a modern musician. Is that right?
Yeah, I was a music business major.
That was your major, okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like your quick rise in success that you're seeing now, it has a lot to do with that, that musicians have to be so much more, you know, their own manager, promoter, negotiator, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did you learn that's helped you get as far as you have so quickly?
I don't know if it's anything I learned in school as much as I think people just like when you're like authentic. I think when you try too hard to like make a brand for yourself or like do basically anything like that, which is probably something I learned from being in school, seeing a lot of people trying really hard to do that. I think when you try really hard doing that, it doesn't come off as like something that like relates to people. I don't think so. Yeah, I think that like obviously you have to like promote yourself and do all this work like managing yourself when you're starting off, like you know, putting yourself out there for shows and sending your stuff to labels and doing all that kind of stuff. But I think that when it comes to like making an image for yourself, it's best to just be like authentic with who you are.
Well, we are talking with Soccer Mommy, aka Sophie Allison. Fader Magazine calls her the chillest new rock star of 2018. And folks, you can join the conversation. What do you hear in the sadness or the lyrics of Soccer Mommy? And do you like this idea that it seems like a lot of exciting new indie rock is coming from women? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And here's the song Last Girl from Soccer Mommy's new album, Clean. I'm Agnes Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
On Point, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour with Soccer Mommy, aka Sophie Allison. She's an exciting new voice in the indie rock scene. The front woman of the alt-rock band Bully will join us in a couple of minutes to talk about where indie rock is headed, and you can join the conversation as well. Do you connect to the emotion and the poetry you're hearing in these songs? Where do you see indie rock music going? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you're hearing the track called Allison by Soccer Mommy. Let's listen to a bit more of that. So, Sophie, should I just call you Soccer Mommy or Sophie Allison?
No, you can call me Sophie.
Okay.
That's totally great.
Okay, I just didn't want to, like, say it wrong here. But actually, now that we mentioned it, where'd the name come from?
It was my, like, Twitter name as a joke in like the end of high school. And then I was like, when I was uploading stuff to Bandcamp under my like username or whatever, I like eventually like just kind of connected it to that because I was using like my Twitter for basically the social media aspect of it. Like that's where I would like share it and stuff. So it just kind of grew out of that. And then I didn't ever really think it blow up, but here we are.
Here we are. I mean,
here we are.
Here we are with the, okay, so here we are with the New York Times writing this about you. Okay?
Yeah, I know. They have to write soccer mommy in their title.
Over and over again. But here's what they describe, okay? They say the songs probe vulnerability and trauma, self-sabotage, and self-preservation, continuing a long-standing role of female singer-songwriters as pop's bearers of emotional sensitivity and catharsis. But in the era of SoundCloud and Bandcamp, they need no one's help or permission to go public. I actually think that's a really good sort of assessment on successful musicians today, but I just want to know what your response was to that kind of review of your music.
It's super cool. I'm glad they like it. It's the New York Times, you know? But yeah, I definitely agree. I think that like women have kind of been the ones writing, like being like these powerhouses of like emotional music, in like any genre, really. I feel like women tend to be more connected with their emotions in their writing. And yeah, I think that like Bandcamp and all that does like kind of make it a much fairer like competition for people getting big, because like, you know, it used to be that you had to get like a record deal or whatever, and now you don't even, people can be independent and like be releasing albums that are doing like really well. So I think the Bandcamp has kind of allowed for people to like get their music out there a lot easier and like have an actual audience that can like grow listening to it.
Well, we've got some folks in your radio audience here right now who want to talk to you, so let's turn to them. We're talking to Sophie Allison, a.k.a. Soccer Mommy, about her debut album, Clean, and the fact that she's got a lot of people's attention as an exciting new voice in indie rock. Let's turn to Terrence, who's calling from Omaha, Nebraska. You're on the air, Terrence.
Oh, hello, Magna. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a comment and a question for Sophie. But the comment was more about indie rock industry. I always have felt that it's been pretty receptive to women singer-songwriters throughout the years of like Annie Clark or St. Vincent and Tennis, and that's kind of always drew me to indie rock because I like that. And with the new wave of EMA and Angel Olsen and Julian Baker and Soccer Mom, I think of it's fantastic and great for music in general. And then my question for you, Sophie, would be, I know South By is pretty crazy. I used to live in Austin, but who were you planning or hoping to see this year? And if you had, where do you draw your influences from?
Terrence, thanks so much for the question. Sophie, what's your answer for him?
Who was I wanting to see this year? I really wanted to see Lil Uzi Vert. I don't know if I will. I wanted to see Trippie Redd really bad, too. I also wanted to see, like, Bully. I wanted to see J-Som. J-Som didn't come. Obviously, I can see Bully. I'm right here. I wanted to see Snail Mail. I got to see them. They were really great. I'll probably see them again today. Who else?
That's a pretty good list as it is.
Yeah, that's a good list. That'll be good for now.
Yeah.
And who are my influences, too? Is that the other part?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Influences. It's really hard for me to choose because I can never really tell. I don't know. I don't really think about, like, I don't listen to music often and be like, oh, my God, like, I have to write something like this. But I think I am probably inspired by people like, I love Joni Mitchell a lot. I listened to a lot of, like, pop, like, artists when I was younger, like Avril Lavigne or, like, Taylor Swift and stuff like that definitely is in there for sure. Mitski is, like, a huge inspiration to me. That's, like, a like, more, like, new artist that, like, definitely the career path and the music is all just, like, so amazing to watch. Yeah. And listen to.
It seems like a really good list here. You know, you mentioned Bully and... It's live radio, so everyone knows that they're sitting right across from you in the studio. They're in Austin. And guys, I'm gonna get to Alicia. I'm gonna get to you in just a second. But before we depart too far from Sophie's album, I just want to hear one more track really quickly. Okay, this is Cool, and again, it's from Soccer Mommy's debut album called Clean. She won't ever love no boy. She treats you like you're just a toy. She'll break your heart and steal your joy like a criminal. Ooh, I wanna know I like you. That's Cool from Soccer Mommy's debut album, Clean. Let's go to Wes, who's calling from Nashville, Tennessee. You're on the air, Wes.
Hey, thanks for having me on. So, Sophie, there's so much great indie rock from women coming out of Nashville. There's you, there's Bully, there's Amanda Bantug, there's Liza Ann. What's going on in the city that is helping facilitate all this?
Great question, Wes. Sophie, you want to take that?
Yeah, of course. Shout out to Nashville also, just to start it off. I don't know what it is, but I feel like it's kind of like recent that, that I've been seeing more like Nashville artists popping up, like at all in like the like indie scene. I feel like part of it is the punk scene died a little bit. It's definitely like taken a hit. Like, I mean, there's still punk music there, but I think that like I have noticed a lot of people who were in like punk bands are now in like indie rock bands. Like at least like of my friends. So I think maybe like part of it is that like the punk scene has like kind of gone down a little bit, and that just like at least when I was in high school tended to be like a very male dominated scene. So maybe like that kind of like taking a hit has allowed for like more women and more indie rock music to kind of like start to come up.
Okay. Well, you know what? Since we've given a couple of inadvertent shout outs to Bully, I should just go ahead and introduce Alicia Bugnano, who's there at the studios of KUT in Austin with you. Alicia's the lead singer, guitarist, and songwriter for Bully. Welcome to On Point, Alicia, and thanks for being so patient.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so you guys hail from Nashville as well, too. I just wanted you to give you first a chance to add on to what Sophie was saying about why it does seem as if so much great indie rock is coming out of Nashville right now.
I would agree, but I would say I think when I first came to Nashville, there was a lot of garage rock going on, and that was also a really male-dominated scene as far as, like, the bands that were getting the most attention. And, yeah, I think right now a lot of the music that's going on is really diverse, and everybody seems to be kind of doing their own thing instead of just doing the same thing, which I don't want that to sound like a diss on the garage rock thing. It was great, but I think there's just other doors opening up right now. And yeah, that seems to be the case.
All right. Well, for folks who don't know Bully's music, let's just hear a little bit of it. This is Seeing It by Bully. Such a blurred place to be, stuck in your own body, stuck. That's Seeing It by Bully, and Bully's front woman and lead singer and guitarist Alicia Bugnano is with us, along with Sophie Allison, a.k.a. Soccer Mommy. Alicia, tell me a little bit about this track, about Seeing It.
It's a dark track you just requested I speak about. Seeing It is just, to be perfectly honest with you, it's about knowing somebody for a while, and then a sexual assault case coming up against them, and then kind of questioning your relationship prior to being aware of that, and digesting a little bit and figuring out the best way to respond, and just being really discouraged and let down by that person. Yeah.
Wow. You know, it seems there's a lot of, we've been talking about sort of the emotional quality of a lot of this music, but there's a message as well. You're making a statement too, right?
Yeah, I actually had written half the lyrics to that song, and this sounds really corny, but just, I do most of my writing at my house, and I was trying to get out and be just in a different environment to see if that would inspire me at all to finish the lyrics. And there's this park in Nashville called Shelby Bottoms, and it's really big, and you can drive along, and there's all these little divots that you can turn off of, and during the day they're usually very empty, and it's surrounded by woods, and they're kind of up in the middle of nowhere. And I was up there listening to the music and trying to finish the lyrics, and this dude in this Mustang was blaring music, pulled up right next to me, which was super uncomfortable because it's a really isolated place and you're in a park alone. And I just remember being really, really frustrated, and I left naturally out of safety reasons because I didn't know what his intentions were. And as a woman, I think you're just really highly aware of stuff like that. And it just, struck me, and I couldn't forget about it, and it was just really frustrating. And a lot of it is just me contemplating whether or not, you know, how aware I should be, and if I'm aware and that person leaving, I feel like I'm losing a little bit, but I'm not. I'm just looking out for myself.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was just, it was, even thinking about it now, just like, frustrates me.
It must. Actually, it's kind of maybe on the theme that we're talking about here. Robert is calling from Sarasota, Florida. Robert, you're on the air.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for having me on. I have a question, I guess, can be for everyone. I run a DIY house venue in Sarasota, and I've noticed in other DIY scenes across the state, this kind of call-out culture precipitated the Me Too movement, and so in a way, it was already taking place in music scenes before it became a national topic. I'm curious what you think about it, the role it plays in music scenes, and if it can have both positive and negative consequences.
Robert, thank you so much. It's a really thoughtful question. I mean, Sophie and Alicia, you guys are sitting there next to each other, so whoever wants to have at it first, go ahead.
This is Alicia. I don't know if you can probably tell by our voices. I think it's great. I mean, I think any sort of awareness that's being brought to women who have been treated unfairly, especially in professional environments, is great. And I think that a lot of the times, a lot of people who are causing that don't know that they are, or don't think that they are, but any sort of attention brought to it and knowing what is uncomfortable, especially as a woman, you know, there's little things all the time. Like we'll pull up to a venue and all the guys will be addressed by the sound engineer before I will be.
Uh-huh.
And just that's on a much lighter scale. But that kind of stuff happens all the time. And I think it's cool that people are talking about it. Obviously, I think people have always been talking about it. But there seems to be a resurgence of it now, I think, maybe with a lot of things, but also with the with Trump being in office. And I'm never going to dog on anybody for being late to the game or for trying to be involved or a part of that movement, because I'm just happy it's happening. And
Sophie, have similar things happened to you that you've had moments where people haven't taken you seriously as a musician or even recognized you as one because of both your age and your gender?
Yeah. Definitely. One time I was at a venue and I was playing like a show with like one other band, and the band was sound checking. I was sitting there with my guitar, and the guy came up and was like, "Who are you with?" And I was like, I'm playing, dude. Like, he like didn't know who, and I was like, it was like the promoter too. I was like, yeah, I'm obviously the other band. But
did it register? Like, did his face like
he apologized.
Okay.
He was like, "Oh, like, darn, I'm so sorry." And I was like, "It's like fine, thank you for..." He was like, "I feel like such a jerk." And I was like, "I mean, like, thank you for not like for apologizing. Like, that's good. But yeah, I mean, that stuff happens all the time, and I think that, like, call out culture is good, but, like, yeah, I think you should also give people a chance to, like, if it's not something really awful, a chance to, like, grow from it.
Yeah. So I like that. Holding them to account with a little forgiveness as well. We're talking with Sophie Allison, a.k.a. Soccer Mommy, and Alicia Bugnano, who's the lead singer and guitarist for Bully. And we're talking about all the exciting new female voices in the indie rock scene. You can join the conversation. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Here's the song Outworn from Soccer Mommy's 2017 mini album collection. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're taking a look at the indie music scene this hour and how women are charting a new direction. This is Trying by Bully. You can join the conversation. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we're joined today by Alicia Bugnano. She's lead singer and songwriter for the alt-rock band Bully. And by Sophie Allison, a.k.a. Soccer Mommy. They're both joining us from KUT in Austin. They're there far south by southwest. And Sophie and Alicia got a ton of people who want to talk to you. So I'm going to take a back seat to these callers and just let them in. Erica is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Erica.
Hi, Meghna. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What do you want to say?
The comment that I have is that I think the reason why women's indie rock music is making such an impact now is because, I'm a millennial woman, and there are just so many songs I grew up with by women that all had to do with boys and romance. And I've just been, I think many millennial women are drawn to these artists, because the songs are so multidimensional. They talk about sexual harassment. They talk about self-empowerment. They talk about imposter syndrome mm-hmm. that we have and our self-doubt. And they're just so much more multidimensional. And I think that's why they are drawing such an interest, because we are multidimensional. I think women are getting sick of being seen as just one-dimensional characters. And I just want to thank them both, Alicia and Sophie, for the beautiful artistry that they do, and for all the other artists that are doing the same work.
Yeah.
So keep at it, and thank you,
Erica. Thanks. You so much for that call, Alicia. What do you have to say?
I agree totally.
Yeah,
I think yeah.
Well, you know, so this gets me back to something that I was talking to Sophie about a little earlier, and that, you know, perhaps the appetite for much more emotionally complex and representative songs has always been there, but you had to go through conventional record labels to get your music made. And since that's not the case anymore, is that one of the things, Alicia or Sophie, that you think has made it so much easier? Not that musicians don't work hard. You still work really hard, but like much easier to get to an audience that wants to hear your music than it was before.
Yeah. I think that's definitely part of it, because I think that it's really easy for like huge labels to like pigeonhole people, but they can't really do that if you're starting from, if you like make your image and you make this like starting point for yourself, like, and it does well, you can't, even if you get signed, I feel like it's a lot harder for them to say, oh, well, now just sing about this.
Mm-hmm.
If people have already like liked you and like, you know, got you to like blow up through you singing about something else and like doing it on your own terms.
Yeah.
It's kind of like hard for someone to like pigeonhole you into doing something else if like that's what is working for you.
Yeah. Alicia, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Sophie's right. I think, I'm going to say this, and I don't really have a lot of experience of what it was like to be trying to play indie rock music on a major label in 2000 or 1998 or whatever. But I think with Bandcamp and all that stuff, you're a lot more likely to just go your own direction. And like Sophie had brought up before, keep that authenticity that maybe would have been altered a little bit if you have a bunch of people involved in the project before you really get going. Mm.
Well, let's turn to Nick, who's calling from Brighton, Massachusetts. You're on the air, Nick.
Hi there, Magna. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually a music journalist from Boston. I was fortunate enough to cover a show that Soccer Mommy did with Steph Chur and Jay Somm quite some time ago. And as a journalist, it's really great to see this in music, because it broadens the kind of emotional palette that you can like really get like kind of bored by in music. Like bands like Hop Along or The Weather Station or people like Jessica Pratt, they're bringing such a unique voice to music, and it just makes my job easier to get to talk about these things and get excited about these artists. And especially like as a male critic or music fan, it really kind of opens your eyes to the disparity between gender and all industry, but especially thinking of how many bands I liked growing up that were all male or male fronted, and how it's very easy to just kind of empathize and just relate to that. But now when you kind of take this active approach to listen to people of color or women in music, it gives you this kind of whole new angle to look at the world from. And it's really fantastic for people.
Nick, I'm going to jump in here and say thank you for your call, because I mean, it's a really thoughtful call. And Sophie, I mean, he's showering much deserved praise on you there.
Thank you.
Which is why I wanted to ask you, I see here that you've told other folks in the past that you're paranoid by all your new success. Why is that? I mean, Nick's saying that like the best is yet to come because there's so much more he wants to hear from you.
Well, it's not the success's fault. I think I just have paranoia, but it definitely gets worse. I think that it's more not that there's anyone saying you suck. I mean, there are a few, but mostly I see like good comments. So I think it's just the fact that it feels like everyone's watching me all the time definitely makes me feel paranoid about like failure and about just also just people watching me. In like a broader sense, it always feels like you're on a pedestal and like people don't talk to you like a human and you're just like, I'm pretty normal. It definitely is like imposter syndrome, like someone else brought up on this call. Like it is definitely that. It feels like, wow, like everyone thinks I'm something and I'm just like doing this. I don't know, like if, you know, it's like, I don't even know if my next album's going to be good and everyone's obsessed with me. Like it's kind of, it definitely like gives you like a feeling of like, you know, intense, like you have to feel like you have to do something really great at all times to keep people like saying these things about
you. Or just stay authentic as you've been so far. Let me get one more call in here. Enrique is calling from Miami, Florida. You're on the air, Enrique.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Sophie. Hi, Alicia. Big fan of you both. I'm hoping to see you in Miami soon. I know you guys haven't made the trip here yet, but I would love to see you live. I've been following indie rock for a while, and I've been noticing that I'm hearing more and more female music. Bands the lead singer it's a woman, or you know the artist herself it's a woman. And I thought it was like a phase I was going through where I was, you know, more into female vocals, but I'm realizing that it's a whole thing in the industry where you have all this talent and you have so many good artists, you know, female artists that are coming along. And at this point I would say, you know, the output coming from female is, you know, it's not just that it's as good as what's coming from male men bands. But at some point, I could even say it's superior, which, you know.
You could say that right now. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for your call. We just got 2 minutes left here, Alicia and Sophie. So I got to ask you, I mean, you're at South by Southwest right now. But what, Alicia, what's next for Bully?
We are flying out of here and doing a couple shows, one in New York and one in Chicago, and then we're home for about a month, and I'm going to write a bunch, and then we have a couple more U.S. dates, and then we're in Europe for a month.
Okay, so lots of work then. And do you see, like, are the number of fans growing, and just like kind of word continuing to spread about your music?
Yeah, I'm very happy. We just finished the majority of our U.S. headlining tour for Losing, which is our second record. Mm-hmm. And all the venues were bigger, and there was more people showing up. So I was surprised and very happy.
Awesome. And Sophie, what's next for Soccer Mommy?
Well, I'm doing this, and then we're doing a headlining tour, and trying to write a new album. You know, we'll see if that happens. But yeah, I mean, just basically playing shows all the time. And oh, actually, we just announced some new shows today. I'm going to be opening in June for Liz Phair on a Exile in Guyville,
yes,
like, reissue. I know,
nice.
It's crazy.
Put me on the list.
Like, it's like a reissue tour.
You know what we call that in the business? You buried the headline there. So,
I know. I really buried it. I should have thrown that up first.
You know, both of you have been so fantastic joining me today. Because, you know, you guys still have so much time and so much of your career ahead of you that you bared with me well as I put you through the public radio paces of saying, so what's next? And where are you going? And give us your grand assessments about indie rock. But I guess the music also speaks for itself. So thank you both so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Sophie Allison is Soccer Mommy. Her new album is Clean. And Alicia Bognano, frontwoman and songwriter for the alt-rock band Bully, their latest album is Losing. They joined us both today from KUT in Austin. Here's the song Skin from Soccer Mommy's album Clean. And you can go to onpointradio.org for a Spotify playlist of some of the women who are charting the future of indie rock, including Bully and Soccer Mom. This is On Point. Well, Sophie and Alicia joined us from KUT in Austin today. And of course, South by Southwest is going on in Austin, but the city's also in the midst of an investigation into a series of three bombing attacks that have killed two members of prominent African-American families. And we wanted to check in on that. Tony Plahetsky joins me now from Austin. He's an investigative reporter for the Austin American Statesman and for the TV news station KVU. Tony, welcome to On Point.
Nice to be with you.
So first of all, bring us up to speed. I mean, how much do we know about these package bombs that have struck some prominent African-American families in the city?
What we know so far is that these devices are not being delivered through the U.S. Postal Service or from any professional carrier like UPS or FedEx. Instead, what police believe is happening is that the perpetrator is driving to these locations in the dead of night, leaving them at doorsteps so that they are then found by the residents the next morning. And that is what we have seen now three times over the past couple of weeks here, beginning on March 2nd in Austin.
Okay, and so one of the victims, Anthony House, he was the first person killed when the bomb exploded on his porch. He's the son of Reverend Freddie Dixon. I mean, tell us a little bit about him.
We know that he lives in North Austin. He does have a connection to Freddie Dixon, Reverend Freddie Dixon. It is Reverend Dixon's stepson.
Okay.
And Reverend Dixon is also very good friends with a man, a local dentist in town by the name of Norman Mason. And we know that it is Norman Mason's grandson, 17-year-old Draylen Mason, who was killed in this second attack that happened earlier this week. And so the connections are a focus, one of several focuses of the law enforcement investigation right now. And I've talked to various law enforcement sources who really are unsure that those connections are really going to yield any clues or if this was all just one big coincidence. But it does remain, the connections do remain a focal point of the investigation today.
Okay. Now, the third package that has exploded seriously wounded a 75-year-old woman, Esperanza Herrera, but police aren't sure if she was the intended target?
That's right. That is part of the investigation as well. What we do know from our reporting is that there is another person who lives on that same street who has the last name Mason, but what she has told us is that she is not connected to the Mason family where the first blast occurred, where the second blast occurred. But at the same time, that also has intensified interest in whether or not there may be a particular family that is being targeted for some reason.
Uh-huh.
But again, authorities really are puzzled by all of this and at this point have gone down the road of several possible theories, but none of those theories have really locked in place, and at least a couple of them at this point have really not stood up against the test of other evidence.
But Tony, I mean, I guess the obvious question that I have to ask is, are authorities investigating these bombings as hate crimes or potential acts of terrorism? I mean, three bombs have gone off in Austin.
What I am being told from law enforcement sources is that they are open to any and all possibilities, including that there is a racial factor in this. The police chief has acknowledged publicly the obvious, which is that the first and second victims, Anthony and then the Draylen Mason, are both African American males. Anthony House and Draylen Mason are both African American males.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I'm seeing here that Reverend Joseph Parker, who's a pastor at a chapel in East Austin, says it's reminding him of Birmingham in the 1960s. It's bringing all that back up. I mean, is that how the communities of color in Austin are feeling right now?
Absolutely. And I spoke to Reverend Parker yesterday, and he did say that. He said, I was a small child when the bombings in Birmingham were happening. And it is reminiscent, at least to parts of our community. And the fear is high. I mean, at this point, Austin police have asked anyone, really pleaded with anyone who gets a suspicious package on their doorstep, please don't go near the package, please call 911. And the good news is that people are doing that. I checked this morning. Austin police have gotten about 500 of those types of calls since early in the week. So people are being cautious. The big fear, though, is this person going to strike again at some point in the future?
Right. Well, I gotta say, Tony Plahetsky, investigative reporter for the Austin American Statesman and for KVIEW, joining us today from Austin. Thank you so much for bringing up to speed on us up to speed on some very troubling incidences in Austin. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, today's show was produced, I should say, by Sarah Platt, and today happens to be her last day on a wonderful 4-year run with On Point. We'll miss her all and wish her all the very best in the exciting new world of podcasts. Sarah, thank you so very much. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.